the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Bobby Golden over at Stoneville, Mississippi, and today we're going to be talking about rice, primarily discussing the differences between seedling stage disease issues and mild cases of paraquat drift. I have with me Dr. Jason Bond, our rice weed scientist, and he's going to have a conversation with us today about when we walk into these fields, how do we tell the difference between a mild case of paraquat drift and some pretty significant seedling disease. Oftentimes during this time of the year when we're flushing and having trouble getting water off the fields, we can see seedling disease creep in, even though we may have had a seed treatment on there, because in general, seed treatments are going to start losing their efficacy about 20 days after planting. So, Jason, when you walk into a field, what is the first thing you look for in trying to identify the differences between a potential seedling disease issue and paraquat drift?
Well, usually, if you get called to a field and the suspect is drift and it's paraquat drift, then you're usually going to see some kind of pattern even before you get out of the truck. So in a lot of cases, these more blatant episodes of paraquat drift, it's a corner of a field or along the turn row, along the edge of a field, and it sticks out at you pretty quick. With the cases where it's just a light dose of paraquat drift, you get out, you start looking around, and naturally the first thing you're going to do is start diagnosing the symptoms, and that's when it can get confusing between seedling disease and paraquat drift if the paraquat rate was low enough. So what you generally see with a heavy dose of paraquat drift is desiccation of the plant, like you would see driving down the road or in a field that's been treated with paraquat. You see brown ryegrass, brown weeds, that type of thing. You're going to see that symptom.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of that over the years. When talking about trying to determine the differences between these two, one key that I try to get guys to look at with seedling disease is look at the low areas of the field. There's always holes in the field up against the levee where the water might not have come out. So kind of like you were talking about cornering fields of stuff like that for paraquat, I think you can track the water for seedling disease. But continue on. This is fascinating.
Yeah, so, those symptoms, when you get down to it and they look similar, you're going to see some red spotting a lot of times. In contrast to paraquat symptoms on a lot of plants, a low rate of paraquat on rice will often show up as a brown spot with a red halo around it. And usually if it's the herbicide, you'll kind of see it, a spot that looks like it the droplet ran down the leaf, so it'll kind of be an irregular shaped spot. Whereas seedling disease, you may have the brown in the middle of the red halo, or you may just have some red spots. We saw some yesterday that kind of just showed up as red banding along the leaf. So you had like two or three red bands that went all the way across the leaf blade. Paraquat drift won't be that, won't be that systematic. You're right about the pattern in the field, Bobby. If a field, maybe it needed a bucket run over it one more time, and you got a lot of little potholes in the field, water's been standing, and you'll see a 10-foot square area or round area of symptoms, and that's going to be more indicative of seedling disease, whereas drift, it's going to be either even across a paddy or a whole field or a corner of a field. You can look behind the levees. If the levees are already up, and the drift occurred after the levee was up, should have some green rice on the downwind side of the levee and symptoms on the upwind side of the levee.
Many people, when we go and attack a field, look at us like we're crazy when we start laying down in a field and digging up rice. But what we're really trying to do when we do that is look at that interface between the surface layer of the soil or that top crust in many of our buckshot rice fields, and where that meets the rice plant, and we're basically looking for an infection site. In many cases, when we're talking about seedling disease, you'll see an infection site right at that soil level, and that's kind of one of the telltale signs to help identify the differences.
Yeah, but what does that look like, Bobby? You talk about an infection site, but
generally it's going to be some sort of black to off-colored streaking up the stem of the rice plant.
All right, what do the roots look like? You know, if you're down digging, you're digging up plants, what do the roots look like?
Yeah, generally when we're talking about seedling disease, you're going to start seeing roots with a off-white color, maybe look a little dry, just not a good, healthy, white, robust root system.
All right, so you talked about the seed treatment only lasting, you know, say 3 weeks. What conditions influence that? You know, it seems like a lot of times we have rice that, you know, it takes a while for it to get going due to planting day. So just talk about some early season management that plays into, you know, seedling disease episode occurring.
Yeah, so when we're generally talking about what sets up the proper scenario for seedling disease to occur, it's generally going to be what we've seen this year. We've stressed our rice seed before it even come out of the ground. And many times when we're planting in mid to late March, that rice is going to take anywhere from 18 to possibly, in this case, in 30 days in a lot of the situations this year to come out of the ground. Well, you've already put a tremendous strain on that rice seed by setting it in the ground that long. Not only a tremendous strain on your seed treatment package, because most of the seed treatments are soluble, and after they've set in the ground 30 days with some form of weather and rain, you know, we may lose efficacy because it's already dissolved away from the seed and dispersed through the soil. But generally, cool temperatures for prolonged periods of time, followed by, you know, heavy doses of rain, and then really warm temperatures kind of pretty much dominate to have that shift and see seedling disease occur in the field.
All right, so if you are in a field and you do feel very confident that you're looking at seedling disease, what do you do then? Is there any management that you can do to, you know, how do you manage the crop once you identify seedling disease?
I think you first got to take the lay of the landscape and say, okay, how bad is this issue, and is it going to get worse? And that starts with identifying your stand. And if I have enough plants that I feel comfortable with on the first day we observe it, I say, okay, we're going to come back in about a week and see if we lose anything. You're really going to have to give that about 6 to 7 days to see if you lose any more plants before you make a final decision. Are you going to keep that stand? Are you going to replant that stand? Are you going to replant a portion of that field? Or are you going to live with what you got and farm around the holes in the field? So there's, depending on, one, the time of year it is, two, how severe the issue is going to depend on how we move forward with that specific rice field.
All right, so you didn't necessarily mention replanting, but, you know, what if the weather, and obviously we got 90 degree afternoons now, so, but in a different year, if we had seedling disease and the weather just was persistent, you know, we were getting 3 or 4 cool days and maybe 1 or 2 warm days, but it just kind of sits on us and stays cool, then how do you deal with that?
We're getting a little long-winded on this podcast, so we'll talk about replanting on another day. But before we end, let's talk a little bit about what, again, summarizing, is the way to manage this and isolate the differences in the field, Jason.
All right, so, again, we've talked a lot about seedling disease, and we got into paraquat drift, kind of jump back and forth. So just to leave you with what we think are your fundamental differences between paraquat drift and seedling disease. One, you know, drift is drift. That's a physical deal. So there's generally going to be a pattern in the field, especially with paraquat. You know, there are times when it's the whole field, but that's rare. Most of the time, there's going to be some kind of pattern in the field that tips you off that, hey, this came from that direction, and that's going to be telltale of drift. Number two would be that infection zone that you talked about, that's right at or below the soil surface. That's going to be indicative of seedling disease. And then while you're down there digging, you know, go ahead and dig up a few plants and look at the, you know, maybe the quality of the root system. If you got, you know, paraquat, unless, you know, it's been on the plant for a while and the plant's about to die, You're generally not going to affect the root system, so you're still going to have healthy rice roots are white, so you're going to have healthy white root system. And with seedling disease, you're going to have some kind of deterioration of that root system, some black roots, maybe black tips of some of the roots.
Maybe some necrosis in there.
That's right.
Between where the seed attaches. So I think the key difference is to figure out and put in your head when you walk into a field is landscape position in the field. Jason talked about drifts on corners of field and portions of field. I talked about seedling disease occurring in low-lying areas. So that's one major difference. Always examine the roots, and we'll leave you with that, because many people walk into a field and fail to look at what's below the ground that they can't see, and oftentimes it takes that extra bit of digging to figure out exactly what's going on the field.
And as dry as it is, take a shovel, because the ground is hard.
So, hey, guys, we appreciate y'all listening, and we'll the next Rice Podcast will cover a topic of your choosing. So let us know what you want to hear.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.